afternoon, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Monday, May 2nd, 2022. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. I'd like to remind everyone RBN is listener-supported. Please donate whatever is manageable. And you know, we really can't expect free speech to exist, certainly not in this day and age, folks, without it being funded by we, the people. And there are many ways you can do that. You can use PayPal right on the RBN website donate page. You can call our RBN staff to donate via credit or debit card. Call in to donate at 800-724-2719, extension 3. Or you can just mail in that donation, cash, check, money order, payable to RBN, mailing address 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. We greatly appreciate it, folks. Please help ensure RBN continues broadcasting uncensored content well into the future. And taking Mr. Stevenson's place, I have co-host Stephen Douglas Whitener opening up the Monday. And Stephen, are you ready for the zombie apocalypse?
I guess as much as I'm ever going to be. That's terrifying. I remember we talked about that earlier this year. The Amazon had in their terms of service that in the event of a zombie apocalypse, that we thought it was just ridiculous, but and found it and read it on the air, and then now just yeah, it looks like we wake up every day. I expect to, you know, what's the next page of the script in this dystopian movie we're all living in? That's
well, not everyone. That's, yeah. Not everyone is able to catch every show who's a listener at RBN. So maybe you could describe for us what we caught a bit of this clip that Mr. Robert Ravel was playing last night.
Well, it described what the doctor...
Did you catch who was speaking in the clip and who he was speaking to?
I think it was Callender, Tom Callender maybe, that was the... speaking. There were a couple of people. One came in at the end. There was a doctor and a lawyer and host, apparently. I don't know the exact identity of the three of them. One of them was describing what they had claimed to discover was a latent effect of these shots, injections, you know, whatever you want to call them, assaults, you know, the
well, something
COVID
they could
vaccine. Yeah.
Well, it was confusing because they said this is something that they could be most concerned about. The thing they could be most concerned about is a possible side effect. But it was, I don't know, we were hearing some speculation on something that hadn't occurred yet, is how this was being framed, that something in the shots that people took could do a number of things once activated, that it's possible for some sort of signal blast and three a sequence of three that some sort of signal could trigger these properties latent in these shots, and it was suggesting a whole host of things that could trigger Ebola, E. coli, some kind of staph related
Marburg. And there has even been legislation passed and money spent, they said, on this Marburg possibility that they're preparing for and already got the money there. So and then the other thing was the IP6.
It sounded like he had military knowledge that they were speaking from, and that military intelligence is aware and planning for this, being the perpetrators of it, really. And yeah, this other thing we hear about with this gene, IP36 gene deletion, which could also be an effect of whatever would be triggered to activate what is dormant in these shots in the people who've taken it. And it's interesting because, I mean, what he described in there that I did catch in detail, exactly, is that people are born with this. In nature, it exists, where some people could be born without this gene, this IP36, and it's almost what you would compare it to what we call a zombie, because it's saying the symptomology includes the elimination of the frontal cortex and the propensity to bite people, to bite. And so people can be born like this. I mean, they don't have a frontal cortex, and almost like more like a wild animal, you know, proclivity to bite people. Propensity.
Almost like you'd had a lobotomy is what how it sounded to me.
Mm-hmm. And then we hear about training for years, zombie apocalypse, military with police, all these people who are crisis actors getting paid to just be, a prop, a character for these drills and this training that's been going on for years. And why zombie? It always sounded weird. Some of the cover story was, we don't want to offend other governments, so we're just going to say zombie. That act like, you know, that we're expecting to fight with any other country or something. But yeah, this could explain it in more literal terms and why. But for Amazon, who would have insider knowledge, if any major corporation, on what could be planned in the future to cover their own butt, you know, have these provisions in their Amazon Web Services. It can't be liable for damages in the event of a zombie apocalypse. It did sound absurd. It still sounds absurd on a certain level, but we should at least be aware that there are people out there suggesting these possibilities. And so we're just putting it out there, you know. But, yeah, Stephen.
Yeah, that was pretty scary to hear. I was like, wait a minute, you know, it's us. Isn't it bad enough all of the other stuff that we know is already happening with the people getting the myocarditis and dropping dead, the young athletic people that are, you know, soccer players or whatever. I mean, there's a spike in that. I saw several stories with the graphs of that, how it has spiked right along with the second dose usually of one of the shots. And you know, people just ignore that, but you know, this right here, this is just crazy. It sounds almost like fear porn, you know, and into a sense, even if it's true, it's fear porn because it's distracting you from getting ready if that's coming. But you know, that's just, it's just so bizarre to think that that's being done to us. But I wouldn't, you know, these people are so greedy and arrogant, I wouldn't put anything past them. Just imagine, picture that. If you've seen that woman that's in charge of the Ministry of Truth, right? The Jankiewicz, I forgot her first name, but brunette, just this harpy. It's just, the attitude is so disconnected, dystopian. I don't know how to put it. It just doesn't seem like it's real, like it's almost scripted. The condescending doublespeak that was coming out of her mouth. And she's just a trained actress, you know, she's like a singer, some trained opera singer. There's this thing with her singing. If you guys can listen to her all the way through, you got better nerves than me. It's like Yoko Ono in Pray for Peace in Life, Toronto 72 all over again. It's just horrifying. You can't, you know, it could be used to torture prisoners, this voice. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be so but that's just the way it was with me. I don't know. Have you heard her, Richard? Yeah.
Some are suggesting that could be a man. Looking at the high cheekbones being high up and all that. Who's to say? But, it is pretty curious. I mean, just a woman who would be in, you know, that sort of position, hired by Biden, very left, probably extreme left in her thinking. On average, very often these people with the feminist pressure from society in the left circles, leftist circles, they keep, if anything, they try to push back against some stereotypes. It does sound more like something someone who used to be a man who wants to be a woman, or wants to be a lady, would do, to have that little like song that's kind of like, what? It was sort of like from a musical, you know, that type of singing.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know. It seemed more likely that you'd get that from someone who has longed to be a lady rather than someone who went into politics and is such a leftist in their thinking about roles. And I don't know. Yeah, it was a little off, but regardless, she's a bit off. It doesn't matter what the gender, you know. It just shows how they're hiring these nutters. Just absolute nutters.
And she's apparently been promoted for her good work in the Ukraine. That's another horrifying aspect of this whole film we seem to be starring in. You know, reality is a Hollywood production. Apparently, it just the surreal aspect of it can just leave me dumbfounded and mute sometimes. I just don't know what to say about it, how to express how this is just so absurd. Like you said, it sounds that way. I mean, we thought we were just being absurd, and I hope we still just being absurd. But, you know, these people are using that in their planning stages and stuff. It's like it means something to them. And maybe it means when the bubble pops, or that when they finally push their Overton window too far and the whole structure collapses. I don't know. Mm-hmm. That could be a metaphor for that, perhaps. I don't know if that, even it not being a literal thing, but slowly it seems like they're doing that to people more and more with the wiping out their nutrients in their diet, putting fluoride in the water, hitting us with the radiation and spraying us like bugs. It just, you know, they're trying
And now we're waiting to see how much of a depression, like financial collapse, will affect everyday people, and, you know, just how far it will go. I mean, it's ridiculous so far. I mean, the amount of money printing, knowing it's just going to make things worse and worse every time they do it, which has occurred ever since COVID, really, it's been pretty excessive compared to prior. Even though the spending was ridiculous, the budgets and everything prior to that, it has become worse since. And standard now for any category, you know, as far as the spending is just suddenly increased exponentially, it seems, since that COVID spending, honestly. Michael Schneider is out there saying they can print money, but they can't print food. That's a very... very good observation there. Yeah, that's one thing that they're not going to be able to. They've created this, those in power, but the mid management who has to deal with the citizens, as this plays out in future, Stephen, it's going to be questionable how many of those throw in the towel, get out of politics before it's all said and done. They won't be able to handle the pressure of being the actual people who have to deal with citizens. The supply chain, for example, that's still congested. They're saying world supply chain backlog has 1 in 5 container ships still stuck outside congested Chinese ports. Suppliers face the longest delays in more than 2 years. I was listening the other day to a conversation two employees were having I overheard at a grocery, and with various items, they need like a whole huge pallet of it. They need room for that in the back, that is, to be able to order more of something. So in addition to all the shortages that are already occurring, a lot of the products you don't see on the shelves, it's just because of their policy. If they are going to order a product, they need a huge amount, and they need room for it. They're talking about how they have no room in the back for some things, while other things are out, completely bare on the shelves. And so what they have in excess. They're only buying in ridiculous bulk more and more. It's all about their bottom line, not about having a wide variety at the store more and more. That seems to be the trend here. I don't know about other parts of the country, but I wouldn't be surprised if it weren't commonplace. You know, their first priority is not to have plenty of variety at the stores. The grocery still wants to make a profit, Stephen, and at what they're used to as far as the markup. Unfortunately, that always has included burning, incinerating or throwing out food rather than letting homeless get to it, no matter what. You know, it's sick, but it's the reality we have. If they get used to, you know, they figure if even if it's something they're going to throw out, it's rotting food. Even, you know, we can't have anyone get used to have any food for free. We wouldn't want that. That could just start the wrong precedent. That stopping starvation is number one priority. Never. Yeah, that would be communist, I suppose. You know, so we have those extremes, you know, of course, to keep us at bay of the communism and the capitalism, Stephen. But, you know, it really is crazy the amount that, of course, yeah, money printing won't fix this. And so many factors, the fertilizer, and just for years now, them trying to consolidate all food production. It's definitely going to be. And then, of course, stocks, they're saying that could suddenly have a huge crash, including the housing market. And it's been propped up so unrealistically for so long. There's more I was going to check out on that, some good articles. Go ahead.
in response to the first thing about them not being that they could print more money but not more food, I'm not sure these people are convinced that they can't print more food. They're so delusionally and arrogant they think they could just do grow the meat in a lab and get the, you know, just grow the food. Like, I suppose, like the people living in that thing in the Matrix are just grow this stuff for us to live off, this goop, and you know, the rest of the world is like they might have that, such a thing in their mind as possible. And I've noticed I went into a local restaurant here that the local Subway was not taking any discounts or coupons because of the global or local, I don't know if it said local, but because of the food shortage that was occurring. Mm-hmm. And that's it, I've seen that so far here. And
yeah, and then, well, many economists are predicting crash that's unprecedented to come. Here's one quote from David Haggith: U.S. economy crashes headlong into recession. Another one headline: is the U.S. going to transition from stagflation directly into a full-blown economic depression? A lot I'll talk about again the housing market and this whole. People are calling it the Ministry of Truth, but it really is amazing. On the face of it, let's see. What is the official name of it again? I had
something about disinformation.
Disinformation.
Department of Homeland Security and DHS and disinformation.
Disinformation Governance Board. Disinformation Governance Board. DHS created, and this was, you know, something that just happened. You know, well, the midterms coming up. That is, I guess, no surprise. And then the whole Elon Musk thing, a lot of information coming out about, well, even the Hunter Biden information. They're saying that once the corporate media really starts covering that a lot, well, I shouldn't say they. Like that was actually something I heard. It was another thing Mr. Ravel was playing, a clip of Roger Stone with Alex Jones, saying that once corporate media fully covers Hunter Biden scandal, all the debauchery, that's a sign they're going to throw Biden under the bus, supposedly after the midterms. That could happen. But, this DHS-created disinformation unit is absolutely Orwellian. Disinformation Governance Board, we have the head of that this is by Paul Joseph Watson's reporting. The Department of Homeland Security's new disinformation unit will be headed by a woman who says free speech makes her shudder and who falsely labeled Hunter Biden laptop story disinformation. A lot of people out there, this guy on CNN. CNN had a guest who's just totally losing it on the air over this Elon Musk purchase of Twitter. You know, how are we going to control the information people hear? Panicked CNN guest. Wondering how we're going to control the channels of communication in this country. Oh, the humanity, Stephen.
Yeah, they you can see that they want to lobotomize us. Just our thoughts threaten these people. I had that thought earlier today when, you know, often I say, hello, fellow thought criminals on RBN, and we're more than thought criminals. We're thought terrorists because the fact that we think terrifies them. And so they would go to that level. It just, yeah, well, and there we go. I don't blame David. I'd be afraid of us too.
Good point. We'll be right back.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Are back, folks, beyond the official narrative. Republic Broadcasting, Richard Carey here with co-host Stephen Douglas Whitener. And they're saying the French election fraud has actually been so extreme it puts the 2020 election over here to shame. Just the amount of fraud completely surpassed even what was occurring here in 2020. Millions of uncounted Le Pen ballots have been found in a recent finding that has been revealed. So, and in France, if a ballot is damaged, it cannot be cast. The political establishment, desperate to install Macron in office for another 5 years, arranged for the destruction of millions of Le Pen ballots. And it's no surprise. Some people are saying that Le Pen, you know, would only have done so much, that she didn't represent the people to the extent that they, you know, their sentiments are voicing a need for such more nationalist leadership. That she's, you know, I don't know, you know, I've heard a lot of opinions. I think Mark was one of them. Mark Collett, you know, who will come on here regularly with Patrick. He, for one, is not really feeling like it would have been that much more positive for the French people. But certainly, Macron is far more of a globalist puppet, just like our Biden here.
But it does look like the election was was a charade, just like the last one we had. It was obvious that the people would have rather had Trump despite his drawbacks, you know, and I think that's probably true for the majority of the French, too, from what it looks like. And there are riots going on, too, and I guess part of it's provocateur in May Day, but it may, some of it, I think, is in response to the election.
Yes. We hear a lot of talk about food shortages, many connected in the banking sectors, currently talking about 6 months away. You know, we may have considerable food shortages. And as we know, this is in their playbook of one of the Hegelian ways they centralize more and more power and control. It probably would happen. You know, yeah, that would make sense, though, this coming harvest, October, November, give or take, for this to really start hitting people, whatever we're going to be facing. I'm surprised to find out how much of a military involvement there is with TikTok. Yeah, I mean, it could certainly be one that's very much monitored by a number of agencies, just like these other big tech components, like Facebook is part of, Instagram is with Facebook, right? TikTok, I guess, maybe its own thing. It's very popular with the young people these days, that one, just like Instagram. Listen to me talking about the young people, Stephen. I'm not even your agent. But the NATO to TikTok pipeline is being covered over at Blacklisted News. Why is TikTok employing so many national security agents? And you know, when you have a lot of children on there posting photos of themselves and that, and it's going to the whole child trafficking thing, and it's a whole can of worms that, I wouldn't be surprised. The military has more potential involvement than many out there would believe. They're talking about censorship as an intellectual fly zone these days with big tech. You know, an intellectual no-fly zone. Online censorship of Ukraine dissidents, for example, is becoming far too much the new norm. It desensitization through COVID to far more topics than previous as far as online censorship has occurred. And in its wake now, the war propaganda, people are supposed to just expect it. Well, they were speaking out in favor of Russia. Of course, they got censored off YouTube or Facebook. You know, come on. You know, you have to be in favor of democracy, right? And yeah. You can't have all that free speech out there getting in the way. That could be dangerous, Stephen. But, that disinformation unit of Biden's, right now there are some politicians already trying to get rid of it. So who knows, you know? What if it didn't actually last? There's a new bill out there over at Zero Hedge they're talking about. Well, actually, it was by Paul Joseph Watson at Summit News originally. New bill would eliminate Biden's what they're calling Ministry of Truth, his Disinformation Governance Board. So this was introduced by Representative, is that Republican, it's saying? Lauren Boebert, Boebert. So we'll see. You know, maybe this Republican Boebert, well, she wants to introduce a bill to defund the DHS Disinformation Board, is all we're hearing so far, Stephen. But just to have a Disinformation Governance Board as the name of it, I mean, they must figure that they have nothing to lose. Most people have never even heard of the books 1984 or Brave New World, and they got nothing to lose with the sheeple. They can just pull out all of the stops, Stephen. It's insane.
Yeah, some of them are still wearing their masks. It's amazing.
I mean, you know, Disinformation Governance Board, it's not much better than Ministry of Truth. It really,
indeed.
Is. We'll be right back.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth. American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
And we are back, folks, beyond the official narrative, Republic Broadcasting. Well, a couple other points. Klaus Schwab's daughter, for example, Klaus Schwab's daughter is out there voicing her opinions, wanting governments. I'm sorry, I'm just really cringing at the idea of what someone would have to go through to produce a child with Klaus Schwab. Anyway, okay, so Klaus Schwab's daughter wants governments to use COVID policies for climate change. She's evidently the current WEF. Well, yeah, she's the WEF co-director for the Platform to Accelerate Nature-Based Solutions. And of course, that, you know, CO2, climate change, you're supposed to believe that rhetoric. Wants governments to take advantage of COVID infrastructure and policies to fight climate change. Clearly, the system's not sustainable, she began, speaking at this intent roundtable. She says, so I see it as a tremendous opportunity to really have this great reset and to use these huge flows of money. use the increased. We're not thinking about the inflation. We're not thinking about how much people are already crushed by this flow of money, by the printing of that money. I mean, it's just okay. So I see it as a tremendous opportunity to really have this great reset and to use these huge flows of money, to use the increased levers that policymakers have today in a way that was not possible before, to create a change that is not incremental, but and we can look back and we can say, this is the moment where we really started to position nature at the core of the economy. I mean, I'm not buying a single word of this woman. Schwab continues, saying that politicians and businesses have the opportunity to redesign the economies of the world with nature and regenerative agriculture in mind before pivoting into a discussion about enraging youth or engaging youth. She needs to be enraging. I wish she were enraging youth like she's enraging me. But no, discussions about engaging youth with climate change propaganda to create a restoration generation. Wow, a utopia of sheeple. That just sounds wonderful. Indoctrinating an entire generation. And one of the key reflection points here is around engaging youth. You know, she said, for me, I come back to this shift in mindset of the restoration generation. Can we conceive of ourselves, rather, as humans? I mean, he talked about a new humanity. Can we conceive of ourselves as a restoration generation? So she's trying to just get these trending phrases going out there, Stephen. And it's, no surprise, but it is kind of creepy to think about Klaus Schwab reproducing, don't you think?
Yeah. Well, this woman, her Klaus's daughter and the horse-faced disinformation czar, and Greta Thunberg, or is that right? Thunberg? I'm probably slaughtering her name, but as well. But these are your new
Greta,
overlords and any
Greta Thunderdome. Greta Thunderdome.
Okay. Yeah.
That's where we're going to be.
Greta Thunderdome. Okay. Yeah. If you don't accept them as your new overlords, then that's a thought crime. And, you know, you're a thought terrorist just for rejecting this, you know, this parrot that comes up and says, I once heard that you could create an economist by teaching a parrot to say supply and demand and whatever else. But, I mean, these people come up with a little pet phrases, like you said, the restoration of something. And then the sustainability means basically democide and I don't know what regenerative agriculture is. I mean, that sounds good. And having a nature-based, that's what, I mean, we live with, you know, recognizing those things are sound principles, but they're so twisted with these people with all those flows of money and control and just, oh man, it makes me cringe as well. It makes black pills me to look at that and think that's the best they've got, you know, geez. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what they're going to be pushing more and more, just like we saw, you know. I mean, the shift from one thing to the other, climate change, because the war propaganda is like a temporary pivot away from COVID. As far as the digital ID, social credit score, and, you know, owning nothing, being happy with bugs and petri dish food and plant-based meat and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, of course, that's the future. And, you know, you just better get used to it, I guess. It's pretty soon how they'll be speaking to us. It's only a matter of time. I mean, once there aren't any other options, they don't have to be nice. New controlled food system is now in place. They will stop at nothing to accelerate their control. They're saying over activist posts. You know,
yeah, they're definitely telegraphing that to us. You know, that's coming. You know, I've heard 6 months from friends and from Mr. Roadworthy and trucking. And, you know, 6 months is what they'd been warned about. That in 6 months down the line, there was going to be a big hit.
Oh, well, there you go.
A lot of things. Yeah.
And that probably backs up what we're hearing from these globalists talking about 6 months away, give or take right now. And let's see. There's a loss of popularity in Zelensky, more that comes out about him. California trying to force all new homes to have solar attached to it, even though they don't make solar panels that are really efficient enough, you know, yet. And of course, everything that you have to mine for them and for the electric cars, they don't talk about that part with their environmental spin
But they're just saying in California regarding the solar subsidies, the way we pay for it is by raising prices on all the other customers. And those people, of course, are on average poorer. But that mm-hmm. in California, it's full-blown wokeism, certainly with the climate change lies and propaganda out there. But, more on the economy, Tesla, for example, sure, we have Twitter stock fluctuating a lot since the Elon purchase. Tesla stock has been fluctuating a lot lately as well. So one guy out there is saying Tesla's like Netflix, and the stock market is going to go much lower. That's according to Mark Spiegel. And he said way back in the past, he said that he was comparing it to BlackBerry. For years, he said Tesla is BlackBerry, the maker of a first-generation product, the maker of a first-generation version of a product that, once the market was proven, would be supplanted into niche obscurity by newer, better versions. He says, now I can provide a much more recent analogy. Tesla is Netflix, because for years, Netflix had an absurd valuation based on its pioneering position in streaming media, but once proving such a market existed, a myriad of competitors swarmed all over it. In April, its stock at Netflix collapsed when we learned that not only is Netflix no longer in hypergrowth mode, but for the first time since 2011, when it transitioned from physical DVDs, it actually lost subscribers. And Elon might know that Tesla is the next Netflix, this guy is saying. Maybe that's why he's moving on, of course, to other things, that he's been investing in. And it'll be surpassed, once. But that's, I don't know, it's a while off before electric cars are really more efficient and economical. It's the last thing they want to do. They don't want most of us to own our own transportation, to the short of it, Stephen. But, we should go to the callers. I see that the hour is almost expired here. Tom in Florida. Hello, Tom.
Oh, dude.
Hey Tom, are you there with us?
I think.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Can you hear
Tom?
Me, Richard?
Yes.
Oh, good day to you. Good day to you and the other gentleman.
Stephen.
Yeah, Richard. I just want to make a brief. I just saw in the news on Newsmax, 32 shot in Lightfoot, Chicago over the weekend. 32 more shot. I think it was 6 murdered. That's an every week occurrence here. Come on, and this country's lost its marbles. And but really what I want to talk about, Richard. Is what's going on with this Jankowicz broad, this Nina Jankowicz? Hello, can you hear me, Richard?
Yeah. Some say she could be a man. She's doing these musical type bits in her Twitter videos. It seems like a real nutter.
Yeah, but what I just found out, and I was listening to one of the shows last night, Richard, and I saw it on the news too, that bumbling buffoonery Biden, 80% of his people that he surrounds himself with are all Jewish. And they're only 2% of the population. And that's where we really got to get down to the nuts and bolts of how all these Jews, who are only a small minority, are taking all these power positions. It's unbelievable. And I'm pretty sure our country is being run by Israel. Israel, whatever you want to call it.
Well,
it's unbelievable
to me. I don't know. I think that there are high-level Jews in the U.S. who control things here and some in Israel, and they don't agree on everything. That's what I've heard from many people who've been studying Jewish power for years. And the same goes for Europe. It seems there are really three separate factions of Jewish power. And, yeah, some things they agree on and some they don't. But yeah, absolutely, Tom. It's something that we have to get out to more and more people. Dr. Duke always does a brilliant coverage and the proving – with their own words and just with the data and charts, numbers that you can't really deny,
Yes. Richard, when Thomas Alva Edison made a phonograph he made, in the movie projector, he never envisioned, I'm quite sure, that the Jews were going to take over that those instruments of actually they can be a positive thing or can be a destructive thing. And the same with Walt Disney. Look at Walt Disney, what he was envisioning for young, kids, little kids, and now look mm-hmm. what they've done to it. They turn it all into homosexuality, trans. It's unbelievable. And you think Walt Disney is not rolling in his grave, what these Jews have done to Walt Disney's legacy?
No, absolutely.
It's unbelievable. Even Ron DeSantis said it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Horrible.
Yeah, and all these far left causes. I mean, I'm sure Ford Motor Company donates to them as well now. I'm sure that, yeah, Henry Ford is rolling in his grave as well to see what Ford Motor Company supports these days as far as the, you know, the political side that seems to be in every major corporation now. It's like an expected requirement, like the extortion of Black Lives Matter that pressured all these corporations into donating to them, you know?
Could you imagine if Coca-Cola ever put cocaine back in Coke? Because they're a joke. They're woke. I mean, it's just absurd to me what the white Anglo males, I guess you'd have to say, Richard, allowed. What the white majority of European males and females have allowed to happen to this country. Like the woke, I don't like to say it, but a lot of these woke white women up in the New England states, they vote Democrat for their demise. These people are going to be their demise that are coming here illegally. Going to be their demise. I say ship them all up to get them, every one of them out of the red states, ship all these illegal aliens into Delaware, Maryland, New York, New Jersey, and Maine. Ship them all up there. Everyone out of California.
And I have mixed feelings about, I mean, you know, people are being pretty hard on DeSantis. It was kind of a message and a statement to be sending them, what, to D.C., the illegals, busing them there. But, I mean, yeah, overall, in the long run, I'm sure he would want them out of the country just like anyone, but he is a strong Israel supporter and for just Jewish agendas in the U.S. Other than that, though, DeSantis, you know, you can't, beggars can't be choosers. I guess he's been active in a lot of ways. And this is just his first term, is it, Tom?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
His first term.
All right.
By the way, Rich, before I hang up, I got to tell you one more thing. It's very interesting. The Miami Herald reported this in the Fort Lauderdale Sun Sentinel. On Highway 10 coming from Texas into Florida and going through Alabama, they've already busted like 7 cars where these cars, a couple of them have women driving these cars that are like 4 or 5 illegals in them. I don't know if you saw the story. And they're all basically trying to take them down to Key West, Florida. Can you believe that? So they're circumventing the whole, they're coming from Cuba and then they're going through Texas and then they're in Venezuela and then they get these cars, like a caravan of these state troopers here in Florida. Busted 7 cars already, and even here in South Florida, and they pull these cars over, and there'll be illegals in them, all of these cars are trying to get down to the Keys, so they can get cheap labor down in the Keys.
Okay.
And they came from Cuba, so they'll... Huh?
Oh, go ahead, Tom.
No, actually what I'm trying to say is they're coming from, like, South America, Cuba, and they're going in, and they find all these other different nationalities going into the border. They just busted a bunch of Chinese nationals. I don't know if you saw that on Newsmax the other night. They had all these Chinese, like I think it was 18 of them, and they had them in the Border Patrol caught them. Richard, they're just totally invading our country. And Biden should be held for treason, and he should be, I don't know what they should do with him, but they need to get him out of office rapidly. Him and that Markakis, the Greek, whatever the guy is, that idiot is, they need to get these guys arrested and handcuffed.
Well, yeah, but I don't want
Kamala Harris. Because
they're breaking the statute
of the Constitution.
We don't need a President Kamala Harris, though. She'll be a supporter of these agendas, these globalist agendas, just as much as him. So, I mean, if it's just to put her in there, how's that going to help anything, right?
Well, she's got COVID right now, so we'll know. We'll see what happens with her and her kosher husband.
Right.
So we'll see.
All right. But well, thank you for the call.
Anyway, I just want to throw that out there. They're busting these illegals coming on Highway 10 into Florida. And DeSantis is all for getting every last one of them out of here and send them to Delaware. So I thought I'd get that off my chest. And again, Richard, Chicago every weekend, 30 shot, 40 shot, sometimes 60 shot. Look, and that's it. That's the United States. And we're worried about Ukraine, worried about Putin and Russia. Look at our inner cities. Come on, who's kidding who here? Who's kidding who here, Richard? Then they're talking about Putin and Ukraine. Yeah. It's bad, but you know what? This our country's not much better. So that's basically all I got to say, and thank you for taking my call, and have a wonderful day, Richard. Can't wait to see you down here in Florida. Hello?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, Tom.
Yes, sir. God bless you, man. We'll see you soon. Here you go.
Looking forward to it, and yeah, always appreciate Tom's calls. We have Laura in Michigan. I don't know, maybe we can skip the break, make sure we have enough time. Hello, Laura, what's on your mind?
I've got important information. It might change the conversation. Glenn Beck announced this morning that Vladimir Putin has cancer and he's going to be operated on. So it might change things, and who knows what's going to happen now.
I'm sorry, you said you heard that where, Laura?
Glenn Beck's show.
Can we really trust Glenn Beck, though? Stephen,
I think so. I don't think he put out bad information on that. Would you let the board op know and tell Patrick Slattery, you know, in case he doesn't know about it?
Okay.
I'd like Patrick Slattery to find out.
All right, yeah, sure. Julie, maybe you could mention that. Stephen, though, what is your take on Glenn Beck? I don't know.
Well, you know, Glenn Beck he's got a disinfo kind of past and all. I don't know whether he would lie about that. I mean, he said some things that came back on him before, so I just don't know. That's just the first I've heard of it. You know, I don't really know how to speak to it from him before he went from CNN to Fox and stuff, and then on his own thing, and just he was down at the border handing out teddy bears and things. I just I do remember that. I don't trust him, but it's something I won't discount it completely without
That's
looking
right.
at it. You know, I haven't heard it. You know, I mean that would really
because you know a lot of people said they
too,
seen
you know?
Putin look kind of shaky. He was hanging under a table and stuff. He wasn't real strong.
Yeah, scary times.
Know, yeah, but yeah, who benefits? It's certainly desirable as far as the U.S. government for Putin to be perceived as weak or sick right now. And so you have to ask who benefits if it were possibly a lie. And certainly the U.S.
Right,
would benefit
right.
very much from that. So that's just why I might be even more likely to be wary of it. But
well,
no,
the good thing is the second in line, Medvedev, he's a pretty good guy. I think he'll uphold whatever Putin wants, you know? So at least he has a good person in second place.
True.
Yeah, least they have a continuity of national interest there between Putin and Medvedev. Or when he was in power in an interim one time, they you know, were pretty much on the same page, it seemed. So, yeah. I don't know that it would make that much difference at this point. Really, now that I think about it and you put it that way, they do want to cause as much chaos and in the ranks as they can, I suppose, too. But I don't know. Haven't heard this. I have to look into this. I you know, see what's out there. First I've heard of that. I heard something about him being shaky and someone suggesting he had Parkinson's, and it just was written off as disinformation at that point where I read it. But that was the only other thing I'd heard along those lines about his health recently. But Glenn Beck, no, I, you know, without verifying it, I wouldn't trust him. No, Richard, but, you know, still, how would that change things? I don't know. It does look like they're planning to expand the war, you know, with sending all of the troops around Transnistria, want to attack there, and then Russia, if they can, would like to cut off landlocked Ukraine. So, you know, it's definitely ramping up and kind of coming to a head in the Donbass too. They have several of the Ukrainian troops, brigades, or I don't know what strength, but some surrounded in what they call the cauldron and cut off just the same as they had out in Mariupol. So, yeah, that's going to get worse. And they keep talking. Threatening nukes at each other and talking about this the missiles that they have now, the Sarmat, and Russian TV's been showing videos of the British Isles being just obliterated on their nightly news programs or whatever. This like it's pretty scary looking stuff, fear porn, you know, in a lot of ways. And who benefits? Like, I mean, nobody would benefit from such insanity. And why would they keep pushing that? It boggles my mind for people who could be that
There's a commercial on my local channel. It said, Ukraine, help the Ukrainians. They're fighting for truth, freedom, and democracy. I thought, oh, geez. Three lies in one commercial. And see, that's why, like that guy, that Marine that went over there, to fight for the Ukrainians. 22 years old, left this 7-month-old baby boy, went over there and got killed. So, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that people don't realize. They have no idea what's really going on there.
No, it's been happening for a long time, too, the shelling of the people in the eastern part of Ukraine in the Lugansk and the Donetsk area there that tried to secede, and they sent troops back after them in 2014 and 2015. They got beaten back, and the lines have been pretty static since then, but they've been shelling each other back and forth and killing thousands and thousands of people. And they don't talk
sniping
about that.
Sniping at
it's
them, too.
Terrifying. Yeah.
Sniping
it's
at
terrifying
them.
To see the video. There's a guy I've seen do videos named Patrick Lancaster, I believe was the name. And he was there, and you could, it's scary going here. You could hear the shells raining in, people hiding in their basement, kids hiding in their basement. I mean, just it's it's daunting when you think people are living through that. I mean, but on the other hand, that's way over there. They're using that against us too, just like you said, and pushing it into a huge conflagration when it's this all coming about because of the undermining that had been done of the whole country for years. It's like we are the aggressor in this. It seems to me ultimately the NATO powers and the ones pushing NATO up against Russia's borders since the fall of the wall. It's like we could have a peaceful world if people maybe would just chill out. I don't know what that's this rules-based order that they talk about. It's like we're the hegemon and you dance to our tune or we will destroy you. And they just have gotten used to that so long that now that that's starting to fray at the edges, at least, you know, they're overreacting and who knows what they'll do. It's just, yeah. I hadn't heard that.
If you could let Dr. Slattery know, because I listened to David Duke's show today. He didn't say anything about it. I don't think he knows either. So let people start researching.
Okay.
The whole thing
we'll
about
do.
The answer. Okay. Thank you.
Yes. Thanks very much.
And of course, Laura, you can always try to reach Patrick live on Tuesdays. I believe there's a guest. I don't know if it'd be a good time this week, but on Jeremy's In Plain Sight Tuesdays, Patrick's regularly a guest. I mean a co-host rather, but they do have a guest this week, I'm told. So that might not be the best for the discussion, but yeah. And then other news, looks like we're right about out of time here. I was going to mention another raid occurred over at Deutsche Bank, and there's another dead whistleblower. We had Germany's federal police office, criminal prosecutors, and the country's financial watchdog raiding Deutsche Bank's headquarters in Frankfurt. And the raid came just 4 days after the body of Valentin Brooksmith, 46, was found dead at 7 a.m. Monday, just outside of L.A. But another whistleblower connected perhaps to this back dealing of Deutsche Bank. Anyway, we'll be back. Thank you, Stephen. Always a pleasure, sir.
Thank you, Richard.
Please support RBN, folks, to keep all this possible. Transcend the construct. Regards.
I'm Peter Serafin with today's Liberty Minute. The U.S. Constitution is remarkable in many ways. In about 4,500 words on 4 pages of parchment, 55 men outlined a new form of government. The 3 branches, the powers of each, the people who will hold office, how they become office holders, and so much more. 22 of those men, or 40%, were lawyers. They chose not to obfuscate the document with legalese and pages of clauses and conditions. They chose to write a document in language simple enough that we, the people, can read it and understand it. That was probably the last time a lawyer ever wrote anything so simple. It was definitely the last time our federal government wrote anything with the understanding of we, the people, in mind. Everything that comes out of Washington, D.C. today is so convoluted that even the original intent is lost. Until tomorrow, civis pacem. Parabellum.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.